Okay, good morning, everybody. On Friday and Chanukah, today's daf is Zvachim daf Tzadi Dalet. We left off on daf Tzadi Gimel and Beis. We are at the Mishnah on daf Tzadi Gimel and Beis. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Lila Nishmas, his mother, Golda Basimcha, the Shalom, the Neshama Shalom, and Aliyah. It is also sponsored by Rabbi David Kirsch, the Zchus Rufu Shalema, for Miriam Chana Bas Yonina Tova Tziril, a remarkable young lady who is right now heading into surgery for a heart transplant. She shav refu shalema b'soch shar chole Yisrael. We thank both sponsors very much for the sponsorship. What we're going to talk about today is the Mishnah is going to give us many more details of the din of kibbutz. It's going to talk about which types of beged require kibbutz, which part of the beged requires kibbutz, the location where we do the kibbutz of the begadim. Then the Gemara is going to explain a machlokes tanoim that comes up in our Mishnah, whether only begadim that are actually mekabel tumah require kibbutz, or even begadim that are ro'i lekabel tumah require kibbutz. And what's the difference? The Gemara is going to have three examples of a nafkamina between that which is mekabel tumah and that which is ro'i lekabel tumah. Then the Gemara is going to talk about whether there is a din of kibbutz on or, and does it depend on the type of or that it is, whether it's hard or soft. And the Gemara is going to link this directly to Hilchos Shabbos, because kibbutz is not only a din in kachim, there's a malacha of being mechabes on Shabbos. There's no malacha called mechabes, but there's a malacha called malabain, and when one does kibbutz, it is a violation of that malacha called malabain. So we're going to see how the ramifications play out in Hilchos Shabbos. Then the Gemara is going to bring the sources that kibbutz and breaking klei cheres and mariko shtifa of klei nechoshes, that all of those things have to be done dafka b'makom kadosh. They have to be dafka done in the Azara. The Gemara is then going to tell us that even though the Mishnah identified kibbutz as the one chumrah that chatos has over other kachim, there are like a half a dozen other chumras that chatos has over other kachim, and the Gemara is ultimately going to conclude, therefore, that chad mitrei t'lasa chumri nakat. Well, not a half a dozen, but it says one out of two or three, there are other chumras as well that chatos has over kachim. And then the next Mishnah, we'll see if we get to it, discusses how you do the kibbutz, the shvira, or the mariko shtifa if the item had already left the azara. And even worse, what if it left the azara and became tameh while it was outside of the azara? You have to do these things b'makom kadosh. So if it left the azara, easy, bring it back in, right? So you can do b'makom kadosh. What if it left the azara and became tameh outside of the azara? Now what are you going to do with it? How are you going to be able to do these mitzvos that require the Azara? So let's begin at the Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis. Says the Mishnah, Nitas ala or ad shalo huvshat. If some of the dam of the chatas splattered onto the skin of the animal before it was the animal was skinned, before the behema had its or taken off of it, ain't oton kibbutz. It does not require kibbutz. It's not even ra'oi lekabel tuma until you do the hafshata, and therefore it's not going to require kibbutz at this. At this point in time, there is a suffix that the Achronim have when it's nitas al davar she'en oton kibbutz because it's not mekabel tuma. Does it at least need kinuach or girud like or kasha that where you need to at least scrape it off? So in the Sefer Chemdas Daniel he writes that it does not, because only kelim that are mekabel tuma there were gozer that it needs girud in order that you shouldn't have too much of a difference between that and kelim that require kibbutz. But a kli that's not even mekabel tumah, meaning where do we require girud on something that's a hard kli, like metal or something like that, where you're not able to do kibbutz, there is no kibbutz on a hard kli, so we at least have to scrape it. But if it's not even a kli, it's not even something that's mekabel tumah, then it doesn't require anything. You just leave the blood there. So if it splatters on the or while it's still attached to the behema, it for sure does not require kibbutz. Misha hufshat, if you've already detached the or, the hide, from the animal, tone kibbutz of Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Lazar Amar Af Mishu Hufshat, that it does not require kibbutz. So you have a machlokes tanaim. What if the animal was skinned and the blood goes on the skin of the animal? Does it require kibbutz? What are they arguing about? So Rabbi Yudah says it requires kibbutz because now it is ra'oi to be mekabel tuma, may not actually be mekabel tuma yet. Whereas Rabbi Lazar says even once it's hufshat, it's still not mekabel tuma unless unless you decide what you're using it for, and that it's already Gemar Melacha, that you already decided that it's going to be used as is, and therefore, even though it's Ra'oi LeKabel Tuma, but you haven't actually been morated to the Parsha of Kabbalah Tuma, therefore it does not require Kibbutz. So the Mishnah explains, other dinim, Eino Ton Kibbutz Elam Mekom Adam, Davashu Ra'oi LeKabel Tuma, Ra'oi Kibbutz. The only part of the Beged that needs Kibbutz is the part that the dam actually hit. The rest of the Beged does not require Kibbutz, and only that which is Ra'oi LeKabel Tuma requires Kibbutz. If it's not Ra'oi LeKabel Tuma, it has to be Ra'oi LeKabel Tuma V'Ra'oi LeKibbutz. It has to be the type of Beged that's Ra'oi for Kibbutz. As we said, there are certain materials that are not Ra'oi LeKibbutz. Now, over here we're saying that it has to be Ra'oi LeKabel Tuma, not that it has to not that it has to actually be Mekabel Tuma. So the Gemara is going to point out that this is assuming like one of the Shitos of Tanaim that we just learned. This assumes like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda is the one that said that it only needs to be Ra'oi LeKabel Tuma. Rabbi Lazar holds that no, it has to actually be Mekabel Tuma. Okay, but in this line we have to pick one. So the Mishnah chooses the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, and Echad Beged Vechad Sak Vechad Artun Kibbutz. All different types of begadim require kibbutz, whether it's beged or sack or ar. Sack is like from goat's hair, and ar is leather. All of those things require kibbutz. Another din about kibbutz, va'kibbutz b'makom kadosh, it has to dafka be done in the azara. And by the way, ushviras klicheres makom kadosh. If you cook the karban chatos in the klicheres, and now you have to break it because it has nosar in the that's balua in the walls of the kli, that also has to dafka be done in the azara. Umriku shtifa b'klina choshes b'makom kadosh. And the mriku shtifa of a metal kli, of a copper kli that you cook the carbon chatos in, where you need to do hechsher kelim, riku shtifa is the hechsher kelim, kashering the kli, that has to also be done b'makom kadosh. Zeh chomer b'chatos mikachi kachim. This din that you require kibbutz when dam chatos hits a beged is the chumra that chatos has over other kachim. We don't find other kachim that you have a din of kibbutz. It's dafka by chatos where we find such a such a din called kibbutz. Now it sounds from Rashi that as far as kli cheres that you cook a karban in, then there will be no difference between chatos and other kachi kachim. That other kachi kachim that you cook in a kli cheres would also require, the kli cheres would also require shvira. And in fact, that's what Rashi says on Chumash. The pasuk says in Vayikra Perek Vav, ukli cheres asher tivusha bo yishaver. So Rashi says, yeah, when you cook any kachim, because what did our Mishnah just talk about? Our Mishnah spoke about a whole bunch of different halachos. We spoke about kibbutz, and we spoke about shviras klicheres, and we spoke about mariku shtifa, and then we said, oh, and the only difference between chatos and other kachay kachim is kibbutz. Well, what does that tell you about shviras klicheres? That's not a difference between chatos and other kachay kachim. That all other kachay kachim will also require shviras klicheres. And that is, in fact, shitas Rashi. However, the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos says, chomer b'chatos mikachay kachim is going on the Shviras Kli Cheres as well. That only if that if you cook a chatas, that it's not going on other Kli Cheres, that it's going dafka on chatas. That only if you cook a carbon chatas, it requires Shvira, but if you cook a basar shar kachim kachim, it does not require Shvira, it only requires Marika Ushtifa. And so Kachim explains that the Torah is machmir by chatas because it asers even Bablia of a mashahu. And therefore, the only way to fix it is through Shvira. But by other kachim, it doesn't aser b'mashu, so you could just do mariku shtifa even on a kli cheres. So when according to the Rambam, it says zeh chomer b'chatas mi b'kachi kachim, it's according to the Rambam, it's telling us that it's when it comes to kli cheres as well, that's another chomer b'chatas mi kachi kachim. It's not only referring to the din of kibbutz. Good, so says the Gemara, minani mili, how do I know this din that we what is the basis for each shita in Tanoim that we had in the Mishnah, whether in order to require kibbutz the beged needs to actually be mekabel tuma or the beged only needs to be ra'oi lekabel tuma? So the Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa elaborates based on the pasuk. The pasuk says when it talks about kibbutz, it says beged. Say in liela beged. I would only know that a beged that dam v'chata splatters onto requires kibbutz. Minayin the rabbis or Mishu Hufshat? How do I know that even or once it's skinned off of the animal, that it also requires kibbutz? Tamalomar, I mean, that it also requires kibbutz if dam chatas hits it. Tamalomar, asher yiza aleha tichabes. That anything that's yiza aleha is tichabes. That implies even or. Yochel shani marba or achelo hufshat. I might think that even or that's still attached to the animal is going to require kibbutz. Tamlomar beged. That's why it has beged. Beged is a limitation that only that which could be qualified as a beged. Ma beged aroy lekabeltuma. Afkal harotui lekabeltuma. Just like what's unique about a beged, it's something that is rotui lekabeltuma. So only the type of or that is rotui lekabeltuma, namely or that's been removed from the behema, requires kibbutz. But or that is not even rotui lekabeltuma because it's still attached to the behema does not require kibbutz. So the Achronim asked, well, wait a second, why is it that prior to skinning the animal is it not considered to be mekabel tumah? When it's not removed from the animal, it's considered to be attached to the basar and therefore part of the basar. So if the basar becomes tameh, and when the basar becomes tameh, the or becomes tameh along with it when it's still attached. So why do you call that not mekabel tumah? We say, oh, no, the or is only rotui lekabel tumah once you pull it off of the animal. That's not true. When it's still on the animal, it's rotui lekabel tumah, a different kind of tumah. Tumah's basar, but still it's roi lekabel tumah. So the Nesivos HaKodesh suggests that the reason it needs to be roi lekabel tumah is because kibbutz is talui in a shem beged, and something is only really considered to be a beged if it's roi lekabel tumah as a beged. But if it's roi lekabel tumah as basar, as food, not as a beged, then that certainly doesn't enter into the parsha of kibbutz. Anyway, divrei Rabbi Yehuda, that is Rabbi Yehuda's shita, that it only needs to be rotui lekabel tumah. Rabbi Lazar Omer, Rabbi Lazar says that I learned the psukim differently. Beged, ainli el beged. I would only know from the word beged that if it's made from tzemer upishtan, the things that begadim are typically made from. Typically, when we say beged in the Torah, means Semru Pishtun. That's what we have by Shatnis, and according to many Rishonim, Tzitzis, Beged is only Chayv and Tzitzis on the Darais level, according to many Rishonim, and the Mechaber Paskins this way, if it's made out of Semru Pishtun, Ashkenaz and Paskins, the Ramah Paskins, like other Rishonim, that hold that even other Begadim are Chayv and Tzitzis Mida Oraisa. So we Paskin that our Katan Begadim are also Chayv and Tzitzis Mida Oraisa, but the Mechaber holds only Semru Pishtun. So I would only know from Beged Semru Pishtun. Minayin, the Rabbos, how do I know Sakvik? Call me ne begadim, that begadim made out of other textiles are also going to require kibbutz if dam chata splatters on them. So tamalomar asher aleha techabes. That's why it says asher aleha techabes on anything, whatever type of beged it is. So yachal shanimar ba or misha hufshat. I might think to include the hide of an animal that has been removed from the animal that also will require kibbutz, which by the way Rabbi Yehuda said does require kibbutz. So Rabbi Lazar says I might think it requires kibbutz. Tamalomar beged ma beged over mekab. So that's what Rabbi Lazar says. No, just like a beged is actually mekabel tumah, it's not just rotui lekabel tumah. Anything that's going to require kibbutz has to be something that's actually mekabel tumah. So this braisa just told us where Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lazar got their respective opinions, but we already knew their opinions because they appeared in the Mishnah. So when we say that a beged requires kibbutz, is it any beged that is rotui lekabel tumah, that's shitas Rabbi Yehuda, or only a beged that's actually mekabel tumah, that's shitas Rabbi Lazar? So my benayhu, what are some examples of something that is roi lekabel tumah but isn't actually mekabel tumah? I mean, can you come up with examples of things that are actually a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lazar? So I mean, we had one in the Mishnah, which is if the or misha hufshat, right, the or that's no longer attached to the basar of the animal, it's roi lekabel tumah, it's not actually mekabel tumah. So Amar Abaye matlus pchusum mishalosh ikab. The machlokas between them is if you have a piece of cloth, a patch that is less than 3 by 3 etzba'os. That's our girsa pchusa mishalosh. Shalosh is etzba'os. If we were to say shlosha, that would be tfachim. Shalosh is etzba'os. Now the girsa of the Rambam over here is pchusa mishlosha al shlosha, where the Rambam understands that we're talking about a matlis that's less than 3 tfachim, and the Rambam would understand that if we're less than three etzbaos, then everyone would agree that it's not mekabel tumah at all, no matter what you do to it. Even if you have a machshava to use it, it would not be mekabel tumah. But our girsa assumes that the machlokes is if it's less than 3 by 3 tefachim. Mandiyam ra'ui, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that anything that's ra'ui lekabel tumah, see, even such a teeny tiny piece of cloth is ra'ui lekabel tumah, hanami ra'ui, di ibayi chashvalei. It's also ra'ui lekabel tumah, because if you want, you could have a machshava to decide to use it on a beged in order to patch up some hole in your beged or something, and therefore it will then be mekabel tumah. But man yomer davar hamekabel tumah. But Rabbi Lazar holds not good enough to be roi lekabel tumah. It has to actually be mekabel tumah. Hami alav baskabel tumah hi. It's not mekabel tumah unless you actually had a machshava to use it, and therefore it would not require kibbutz. Tosos raises the question apparently we're saying over here that machshava works to on a beged that's less than 3 by 3 etzbaos to make it mekabel tumah. That if you have a teeny tiny beged, a little tiny patch, less than 3 by 3 etzbaos, so the thickness of your thumb, that could be mekabel tumah if you decide that you want to use it. That everyone seems to agree to in our Gemara. The question is roi lekabel tumah enough to require kibbutz? But everyone seems to agree that makes it roi lekabel tumah, that if you decide that you want to use it, it will actually be mekabel tumah. So Tosfos points out that there's a Gemara in Masechta Sukkah. Tosfos raises this question in Masechta Sukkah on Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph that says that machshava only works for a beged if it's more than 3 by 3 etzbaos. That having a machshava that you're going to use the beged does not work for such a tiny beged. It only works for a larger beged. So the Rash Mishans suggests that our sugya is talking about a patch that's already part of a larger beged that got torn and was already ra'ui lekabel tumah. So whereas over there we're talking about a standalone patch that was never ever attached to a beged. Okay, so that's one nafkamina between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lazar. If you have a patch that's smaller than 3 by 3 tefachim, so is that going to require kibbutz? According to Rabbi Yehuda, yes, because it's ra'ui lekabel tumah. According to Rabbi Lazar, no, because it's not actually mekabel tumah. Rava Amar, a second nafkamina. Let's say you have a beged that you plan on making some sort of tapestry of it. You plan on adding some sort of design to weave onto the beged or to sew onto the beged. So it's not yet complete in your mind. So Mandi Amar Ra'ui Rabbi Yehuda says that you only need a beged that's roi lekabel tumah nami ra'ui. This beged is plenty large. It's plenty usable, but you decided that it's not finished yet, so it's not actually mekabel tumah, but it is ra'ui lekabel tumah, because you could just decide, you know what, I don't need any fancy designs, I'm just going to use it as is. So since you have the ability to do that, at any point you can make it mekabel tumah, so that's called ra'ui lekabel tumah. But if you assume like Rabbi Lazar that it needs to be something that's actually mekabel tumah, it's not, because right now you don't think it's had a gemar malacha yet, you don't think it's finished yet, and therefore it's not actually mekabel tumah yet. A third answer, a third nafkamina between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lazar, Rava Amar. Well, wait a second, wasn't the second one Rava Amar? So how's this one Rava Amar? So Nagos Itziunim, he quotes from Shidun Gubetzes that Ika de Amri Rava Amar, that it's a second version of Rava, and the Chaknas, and he has a girsa Ravina Amar. Okay, so someone else says that Utzba de Chashavala Lekotza Ika Binayu. The machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Lazar is if you have a mat that is meant to use as either a tablecloth or something to lie down on, and you plan on rounding out the edges and making it look nicer still, so you're not finished with it in preparing it and making it look nice. So Mandi Amar Ra'ui, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who's marble from the Pasuk, that any beggar that's Ra'ui to be Mekabel Tumah, even though it's not actually Mekabel Tumah, Hanami Ru'uya. This mat is perfectly usable as is. It's only that it's not actually mekabel tumah because you still plan on rounding off the edges and doing something nice to it. But had you not planned that, it would be roi lekabel tumah right now. Mandiyam davar mekabel tumah, but if you hold the Rabbi Lazar, there has to actually be mekabel tumah. Halo mekabel tumah mekatzela. It's not actually going to be mekabel tumah until you finish whatever you want to do with it, until you finish rounding off the edges. And the Gemara brings a raya that Rav is correct, that if you have a machshava to round it off and make it look nice, that it's not going to be mekabel tumah until you do so. V'atanya, Reb Shimon ben Manasseh, Yomer, this Vatani is Binichusa. We see that Rabbi Shimon ben Menasya says, Utzma Shechishav Lelekata, Torah Achiyaxiyena, that if you have a mat that you intend to make look nice, so it's going to be Torah until you actually make it look nice. It's not Mekabel Tumah until that time. Good, that is Sugya number one on today's daf. Machlokas Tanayim, whether you only need Ravi the Kabel Tumah or it has to actually be Mekabel Tumah in order to require Kibbutz. Three Nafkaminas in that Machlokas, in addition to the Nafkamina we had in the Mishnah, which is the Or Misha Hufshat. Ein Tom Kibbutz, then we said that the only part of the item that requires Kibbutz is the Makom Adam. So Minani Mili, how do I know that that's true, that only the part where the dam hits requires kibbutz? Maybe the whole beged requires kibbutz. Ditan Rabbanan, Yachal Nitas al Miktas Beged Yei Kol HaBeged Tom Kibbutz. I might have thought that if it splatters on some of the beged, the whole beged needs kibbutz. Tabla Mashar Yiza Lo Amarti L'chal Makom Dam Bilvad. That's Asher Yiza Aleha. The pasuk says that only the part where the dam is going to require kibbutz. Question is, what was the Havamina? Like, why would I assume I should clean off the clean parts of the beged? Meaning, obviously, you're going to clean only the part that actually had the dam on it. So in the Kol HaRamaz, he says that one might have darshened, but one might have made a comparison to another place in Torah where we require kibbutz bugadim, and that is by Tzara'as, that the Medrash darshens from the pasuk Es Asher Bo HaNega, that you need to be mechabis more than just the area where the nega is, but the area around the nega as well. So I might have thought the same thing applies over here. And then the Nesivos HaKodesh, he says, no, one might have learned the din of kibbutz from the din of Mriko Shtifa, that the halacha is if you cook karmen chatas meat in a kli nechoshes, you need to kasher the whole kli. You can't just say, oh, the meat was just on this side of the kli, it wasn't on that side of the kli, so I'm only going to kasher this side. You need to kasher the entire kli. So I might have thought the same is true over here, so that's why I need the Gemara to go out of its way to tell me that the pasuk is teaching me you only need kibbutz exactly where the dam actually hit. V'davrshu ro'i l'kabel tumah. So we then had said later on in the Mishnah that kibbutz is only required on something that's ro'i l'kabel tumah. So that's stomach Rabbi Yehuda. That's obviously following the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, the Stam Mishnah, as it continues, follows the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, that it's only something that's royal Mekabel Tumah, didn't say something that's actually Mekabel Tumah, like Rabbi Lazar. V'royal Kibbutz, we said it also, you only require Kibbutz on something that's royal Kibbutz, Lemute Kli, as opposed to, let's say, a metal Kli, where if Dam Chatos splatters onto it, there's no Kibbutz, to Bargridahu. The way to clean that off would be just to scrape it off. So it's not a din in Kibbutz. So it sounds like that just like you do require Kibbutz, Svasemis points out, so too a Kli may not require Kibbutz, but you do need to do Grida, that this is an actual din, meaning it's something that has to be done, and just like Kibbutz needs to be done in the Azara, probably this Grida also needs to be done in the Azara. Karen Ora just has the following diyun. If when you have blood that doesn't splatter onto a beged, splatters onto a kli, and you scrape it off of the beged, is that blood now kosher la hazaa? Can you now use that blood to be zorik on the mizbeach or not? Meaning maybe it's only by kibbutz that there's a mitzvah to be mechabes, so it's nidche from hazaa once you're doing the mitzvah kibbutz. But when you don't have a mitzvah kibbutz, the greed is not a mitzvah greed, so maybe it's still subject to hazah. It could still be used for hazah. So that depends whether you understand that when the Gemara says devar gridahu, that means that just like there's a mitzvah of kibbutz, there's on a beged, there's a mitzvah of grida on kelim, or no, that since it's a bar grida, the whole mitzvah doesn't apply. The mitzvah of kibbutz doesn't apply to it, and therefore you can still gather the dam and use it for the hazah. So that's the diun that the Achronim have. Okay, Echad HaBeged, the Echad HaSak, whether it's a beged or a sack or we said it all requires kibbutz, right? Regardless of what the material is. So the Meimra to Orbar Kibbutz, wait a second, you gave as an example of something that needs kibbutz leather? You mean to tell me that leather requires kibbutz? It's interesting that the Gemara only asks this question on this line of the Mishnah when it says Echra beged ve'echra sak ve'echra or requires kibbutz. The L'chora, the beginning of the Mishnah already said, or mi shehufshat is Tohen Kibbutz, according to Rabbi Yehuda. We had a machlokas, and the only reason Rabbi Lozer says it's not Tohen Kibbutz is because it's not yet Mekabel Tumah. But everyone seemed to agree that if you have Or, it is going to require Kibbutz as soon as it's Mekabel Tumah. Question is it going to require Kibbutz even before it's Mekabel Tumah? So the Chiddush of Or being something that requires Kibbutz does not first come up over here. It was already pretty clear in the earlier part of the Mishnah. So that's a kasha that the Achronim deal with. But anyway, the Meimer da Or bar Kibbutzu, do you mean to tell me that Or is subject to Kibbutz? Or a Minhu, I'll ask you a stira from Milcha Shabbos, that it says when it comes to the Malach of Kibbutz on Shabbos, Haisa Alav Lashleshes, if let's say you had a pillow, a cushion, or something like that had some stain on it, Mekancha Bismartut, you could take a Shmata and clean it off and wipe it off, but you're not allowed to put water on it in order to be mechabes it, because you're not allowed to violate malabin on Shabbos, and this is malabin. Rashi holds it's the av malach of malabin. The Rambam in the ninth parak of Shabbos holds it's a tolda of malabin. But bottom line is, it is malabin. So haisa shel or, but says the Mishnah in Shabbos, if it was leather, no sin alei mayim atchitichla. So then you can pour water on it, and it's fine. Why? Because apparently that's not called kibbutz, because or is apparently not a bar kibbutz. Apparently it's not a problem to be mechabes or. So asking Gemara's kasha, how can you say in our Mishnah when it comes to the dinim of kibbutz that or is subject to kibbutz? In Shabbos, when it comes to cleaning off or, when it comes to cleaning off leather, apparently it is not subject to kibbutz. Tosfos raises the question from the Gemara Maseches Beitza. The Gemara says that a nida who doesn't have a begadim to change into after she's tovelas, let's say a woman has to go to the mikvah on yantiv, so she was a nida, now she's going to be tahora. In the days when they were knowing tumentara, they didn't only have to worry about heter labayla, they had to worry about all the tumah status of their clothing. So she would need to change clothing afterwards into Torah clothing, but she doesn't have any Torah clothing. And there's a din derabanan that you're not allowed to be tovel clothing in a mikvah on yantiv because it's tikkun mana. So what should she do? So in Maseches Beitza it says, simple, she should go to the mikvah with her clothing on, and it will happen automatically that the clothing will become, and it won't look like tikkun mana because it just looks like she's going into the water. So Tosfos says, well, wait a second, why are you allowed to do that? After all, begadim are subject to kibbutz, and you're not allowed to do malabain on yantiv either. So Tosfos suggests, in the name of that it's only considered kibbutz when it's derech nikayon, but when it's derech lichluch, meaning if let's say you go outside and it starts pouring rain, so no one's going to say, oh wow, your clothing got cleaned, what a bracha, right? I mean, it's derech lichluch, your clothing got ruined by the water. So when a woman goes into the water with her clothing on, it ruins the clothing. It doesn't it's not cleaning the clothing. But when you do it derech nikayon, that's the malacha of malabein. So it's an important line of Tosfos, because that line of Tosfos is probably the reason, it appears in Shulchan Aruch, that you're allowed to dry your hands on a towel on Shabbos, meaning the towel is a beged and you're putting water in the beged, and shriyasu zo kibuso, putting water in a beged is cleaning of the towel, but no one has a fresh towel there, and then after 15 people dry their hands in the towel, say, wow, now it's super clean. When I was in Karen Biavna, they used to have those rolly towels that went around. That's what they assumed. I think they assumed it got cleaner and cleaner as people washed their hands. The joke in yeshiva was they put the sink right next to the towel, so you had something to wash your hands with after you touched the towel by accident, right? So that's why we're allowed to wipe our hands with a towel, because it's derech lichluch, it's not derech kibbutz. So anyway, but back to the Gemara. The Gemara's question is, how can you say that or is something that requires kibbutz, is something that's considered a bar kibbutz, that there's such a thing as kibbutz on leather? In Masech HaShabbos we say that you're allowed to actually pour water to clean off leather. Apparently it's not considered to be mechabes. So answer number one, Amar Rabbi Lokasha, HaRabban HaAcher, it's not a steer, it's a machlokas. There's a machlokas whether or is subject to kibbutz. When it says in our Mishnah that it is subject to kibbutz, that's the Shita of Acherim. The Mishnah in Shabbos is going like the Rabbanan. Where do we have this machlokas titanya? We have a brisa, beged vasak mechabso hakliva or megaro, that beged and sak you do kibbutz, but a kli and or it's not subject to kibbutz, so you just scrape off the adam. Acherim, but acherim say habeg v'asak v'or mechabso. That or is in the category of things that require kibus v'akli megarro, and you're megarer only the kli. So kemanos adam Rabbi Chiya Barashi zim sagin avikim lekamed rav. And who is Rabbi Chiya Barashi following when he reports that he used to be meshamish rav all the time v'shachshichi le'misani b'maya, and I would rub water on his shoes in order to clean them on Shabbos. So Kaman Rabbanan, he's obviously assuming like the Shita of the Rabbanan that there is no kibbutz by Ar, and therefore he felt that he was allowed to clean off Rav's shoes on Shabbos because they are leather and there's no kibbutz on leather. So that's Abaye's answer, that it's a machlokas Rabbanan and Acherim whether there is kibbutz on leather. Says Rav Ami Kalaman Yamar or Lav Bar Kibbutzu, really there's somebody that holds that there's no such thing as kibbutz on leather? Vaksiv, but doesn't the Torah tell us? Vabeged OHCO Erevo Kol Kliha or Asher Tichabes. It's perish in the Pasuk. It says Kliha or Asher Tichabes. So you see, clearly this kibbutz on leather. Elam Rav says, no, we got to give a different answer. Kro Umasnisin Berakin. The Pasuk that says that there's such a thing as kibbutz on or, and our Mishnah that says this is that there's such a thing as kibbutz on or, is talking about sloughed leather. Ki Pligi Bekashin. The machlokas between Acherim and the Rabbanan, whether there's such a thing as kibbutz on ar, is by hard leather. V'adam Rabbi Chiya. And that which Rabbi Chiya said, that Zimun Sagin, Havi Kemle Kamed Rav, Shachshich Le Misani B'maya, that he bragged about cleaning off Rav's shoes on Shabbos with water, because it must be that it was hard leather, or Rabbanan. And he yelled, like the Rabbanan, that kibbutz doesn't apply to hard leather, but soft leather, of course, is subject to kibbutz. Hada Amar Rava, then Rava later said, Lav Milsi Damri, I made a mistake when I said that the pasuk about Negat Sara'as and doing kibbutz on Oros is only about soft leather. That's not true. Neku namele lekrada chiksiven barakin ksiven milo askinan bekli aksalgia habam imdina seyam. For me to say that the whole pasuk is only talking about soft leather, it's not true. The pasuk talks about leather, and it might be talking about any type of leather, even the kind of leather that we know that gets imported from Medina Sayam, that is very hard leather. So my answer is not correct. So Ella Amar Rava, Rava says, I need another answer. So he says, Tzaras, kibbutz de'meguvik aparcha, melach chalei mashvi le'rach, that normally soft leather is subject to kibbutz. Hard leather is not subject to kibbutz. But the pasuk by Tzaras says that leather is subject to kibbutz, and I just got through saying that I cannot tell you that pasuk of Tzaras is only about soft leather, it's about hard leather as well. Yet once it's hit with Tzaras, it softens the leather. Meaning, enochinami, the pasuk is talking about even hard leather that gets hit with Tzaras, that it will require kibbutz. But I thought there's no kibbutz on hard leather. When it's hit with Tzaras, it softens it. The Tzaras itself softens the leather. So Amarava I kashali. But my real kasha is the following. Karam ksasos terakininu, cushions which are very soft, utanan, and the Mishnah says in Masech Shabbos, hoysa shel or, that a soft cushion made out of leather, nosin elamai, machetichla, you're allowed to be mechabis it, you're allowed to put water on it. Apparently, it's not called kibbutz even on soft leather, so now I'm stuck. Meaning my answer that I wanted to say that the difference between soft and hard may work with the Mishnah in Negayim, because I can tell you that by Negayim, it has been softened by the nega or the pasuk by Negayim, but it's not going to work with the Mishnah Shabbos, because the Mishnah Shabbos is talking about cushions. Cushions are soft, and yet it says that it's not a problem with kibbutz. So Elam Rava kol kibbutz lesle kiskus lo shmei kibbutz. Rava has a different chiddush, that the only time it's kibbutz is if you scrub the two parts of the bega together. Only when you scrub them together is that called kibbutz. So therefore, you're allowed to pour water on the leather cushion on Shabbos. V'adam Rav Chiya Barashi zim. And that which Rav Chiya Barashi said that he used to wash Rav's shoes on Shabbos, he only did shichshuch in water, but he didn't. He wasn't mechasches. He didn't scrub one against the other. So he might have been talking about soft leather And therefore, he wasn't Meshavshef, because he's following both the Shita of the Rabbanan and the Shita of Acherim, that the Kibbutz is Shayach by soft leather, so therefore he wasn't allowed to scrub it, or Ibekashen Kacherim, or maybe it was hard leather, and he was being Choshesh for the Shita of Acherim, that Kibbutz is Shayach even by hard leather, and he was therefore careful not to scrub it together. Meaning, the way the Gemara is understanding now is when Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi was talking about washing the shoes, it wasn't a Kula, it was a Chumrah. He was saying, previously he was saying, wow, he was allowed to wash the shoes. So apparently he was doing what looks like a kibbutz, and that was a Kula. That now we're saying, no, he didn't scrub it together. And if he didn't scrub it together, that means he was being Machmir Natu. So he was taking a Chumrah not to scrub it together. Why was he being Machmir like that? So those are the two possibilities. Iach, he says the Gemara, well, wait a second. If kibbutz is defined only as when you scrub it together, Beged Nami, so by Beged also, it should only be considered kibbutz when you scrub it together. So how come the Mishnah said you're not, if a cushion that's made out of Beged becomes dirty, you can only take a shmata and wipe it off. You're not allowed to put any water on it. I thought it's not going to be a problem to put water on it unless you scrub it together. So it says Gemara, Beged shriyasu zeu kibbutzo. No, when it comes to a Beged, shriyasu zeu kibbutzo. Just the fact that it gets wet is the kibbutz. When it comes to or, it's only going to be kibbutz when you scrub it together. If you throw a towel into the water, chayiv, you're chayiv ready for kibbutz. Zarak zera pishtan lemayim chayiv, and if you throw zera pishtan into the water, you're also chayiv. So says Gemara, well, what was that about? Bishlam sudar avid kibbutz. I get why you throw a cloth into the water, that's kibbutz. El zera pishtan my time. What is it? What happens when you throw zera pishtan? Maybe you're going to say that you're chayiv because it's going to start to sprout. Then it doesn't only have to be pishtan, it could be chitim asarim as well. So hanachisu riri. Zeri pishtan start attaching to one another. They become mushy and attached to one another. Ihachi shlachim nami. Then shlachim should also have the same problem. Now hasam kavalisha. When you throw pishtan into the water, they become gooey to the point that they literally connect to one another, and that's therefore a violation of lush, because you're taking a bunch of particles and you're connecting them to one another. Darushava mutul chabis minol b'shabis. You're allowed to clean shoes on Shabbos. Amleir papal rav v'amel b'chir barashi zim sagi navakim nekamid rav v'shachshich li misani b'maya. He said a lot of times I was in front of Rav and I would wash his shoes on Shabbos, but shichshuchin avol kibus lo. I would do shichshuch of his shoes on Shabbos, but I would not be mechabes them, meaning I wouldn't scrub them together one against the other. So hadaruki rav amuri alevidarash. Rav then had a meturgeman go and announce dvarim shamarti lefnechem tov sein biyadi baram kach amru shichshuch muter kibus aser. That shichshuch is muter and kibus is aser, meaning you're not allowed to scrub them one against the other. The Rif, the Rambam, the Rush, all paskin that you're not allowed to be mechabes a shoe on Shabbos, and they do not say that it's only when you're mechasches, that it's only when you scrub one against the other. It sounds like they hold even without kiskus aser, it's a pella, because that's not the conclusion of the Gemara. The conclusion of the Gemara is that it's only alide kiskus that it's going to be aser. Okay, hakibus makam kadosh said that the kibus has makam kadosh, as does the shvirus klicheres, as does mriku shtifa. Minani mili, how do I know that? The Tanur Rabbanan, because the Brice of Darshan is the Pasuk. The Chabes b'makom kadosh, Shvirus klicheres minayin, Tamalomer klicheres asher tvusha bo yishaver. The Pasuk in the same parsha talks about klicheres. Mriko shtifa b'klin achoshes minayin. How do I know Mriko shtifa also needs to be b'makom kadosh? Tamalomer, Pasuk in the same parsha, b'klin achoshes b'ushalo, marak v'shutaf b'mayim. So that's how I know all three of them. Zechomer b'chatas. We said the one big chumra v'chatas over other kachay kachim is that a chatas has a din called kibus begadim. Vesuleka, that's the only chumra. Vayika shenichnas dama lefnim. What about the fact that sometimes karban chatas you're supposed to bring the blood into the heichal to be zorik the dam on the peroches and the mizbeach hazav? So it says mar bechatos achitzonos. No, we're saying zechomer by chatas achitzonos over other kachay kachim. Well, chitzonos nami shenichnas dama lefnim psula. Chatas achitzona has a din that if you bring the dam into the heichal, it passels it. So that's a chumra. So krebi kiva damar kol dam shenichnas leichal lechaber psulin. Well, we're assuming like Rabbi Kiva that's true of other kachay kachim as well. Okay, but I'll ask you another one. Shekin mechaper al chayav ikrisus. A chatas is chamer because it's mechaper for chayav ikrisus. But chatas is shmias kol. No, we're talking about a chatas of shuas ha'edus, which is not mechaper for chayav ikrisus. Okay, shekin tuna arba matanos. What about the fact that a kamer chatas requires dam on all four kronos hamizbeach? Rabbi Shmuel damer kol dam tuna arba matanos. No, we're assuming like Rabbi Shmuel that every kachay kachim needs arba matanos. But al arba kronos. But the other kasha comes from shtayim shehein arba. By chatos, it's on all four kronos. Ulatameich, and according to you that you're asking ha'ika keren, what about the fact that chatos has to dafka be on the keren of the mizbeach lemaila, as opposed to other kasha kasha ma'ika etzba? The chatos has to be placed with the etzba. The dam has to be placed with the etzba. Ha'ika chuda, it has to be placed on the edge of the mizbeach. Ella, you're right. All of these things are different about a chatos than other kasha kachim. Chad mitreitz also chumri nakat. The Mishnah mentions one of the chumras that chatos has over other kasha kachim in that it requires kibbutz, but in a kanami there are a bunch of others as well. Okay, but Hashem, tomorrow we will pick up with the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Beis.